VGMP.
Wait, no, that's Final Fantasy X. Is that actually Halo that you're doing?
Yes, it is a Halo. It is a Halo. That's I don't know where my voice has gone funny.
No, it's not as good as Final Fantasy X. Anywho, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to VGMP, the Video Game Movie Podcast, hosted, as always, by Mr. Rory Jocelyn. Say hello. Rory had a stroke and at the moment can only communicate in bow noises. So for this whole episode, Rory is only going to say variations on bow.
Bow.
No dialogue at all. You heard it here first, folks.
I can't keep going.
And my name, I said no words. Should we start again?
No, I'm quite happy with where
we're at. I'm not.
Alright, fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to VGMP, the Video Game Movie Podcast, hosted, as always, by myself, Jamie Evans, and my co-host, Rory Jocelyn. And today, we once again step into the sci-fi franchise from 343 Studios, Bungie, I think, used to do it, and Microsoft. We're talking more Halo. Okay, you can cut that now.
I ran out of breath right at the end.
Today, we are talking about Halo 4 Forward Unto Dawn. Is that from Halo?
Yes, it is. It's the bit from Halo
do
2.
Do not act like I should know it.
You should know it.
No, I shouldn't, because Halo is a garbage franchise.
Okay, I'm not going to let that pass. But anyway, before we argue about whether or not Halo has any worth...
It doesn't.
Whether you like Halo or not, that guitar line is by one of the greatest guitarists who ever lived, Steve Vai.
Lenny Kravitz?
No, Steve Vai.
I don't know who Steve Vai is.
Steve Vai.
I know the name. Name me something else he's done. I know the name.
Steve Vai did the guitars for Bill and Ted 2, Bogus Journey.
Yep, garbage.
No.
Name me something good he's done.
Steve Vai's own music. He's done loads of his own music.
So tell me something. I could sit here and say Cher's done loads of stuff, but until I can name something, it means nothing.
I haven't listened to his albums for a few years.
Then he's not that good, is he?
He is. It's just that I've been listening to other things. I love Steve Vai. He was in the David Lee Roth band.
Oh my.
He was also in Whitesnake.
Oh, Whitesnake. That's what I know him from then. Whitesnake.
Yes.
Here I go again on my own. Going down the only road I've ever known.
He also played in Frank Zappa's band.
Hey, Frank Zappa.
And he's also done songs with Motorhead, Alice Cooper, Spinal Tap.
Alice Cooper. What song did he do with Alice Cooper?
I'm looking. Oh, he did a... He's got an album came out last year called Vi/Gash, which is... an interesting title, to say the least. He did the song Hey Stupid.
Great song.
Yes.
That's actually a great
yes.
one. Hey bro, take it slow.
Yeah.
You ain't living in a video.
Well, it's probably a good one because it's not only Alice Cooper. It has guest performances from Lance Bulan / Ozzy Osbourne, Vinnie Moore, Joe Satriani, who's also a legend.
Ozzy Osbourne's kind of in it.
Ozzy Osbourne, not... Current Ozzy Osbourne.
No, it's 1990s Ozzy Osbourne.
He's all right in the 90s.
It says Ozzy Osbourne's in... I know that song very well. Ozzy Osbourne does backing vocals on two lines of the song.
Right.
So he's not really in it.
No.
Slash has done work with Alice Cooper quite a few times. I like Hey Stupid. It's a good song and a good album.
Yeah.
The Hey Stupid album is actually one of my favourite Alice Cooper albums. It's the one that's got...
It's back to glam metal. That's why that
helps.
It's
the one that's got Feed My Frankenstein on it.
Oh, okay.
Feed My Frankenstein.
Yes. Yes, that's on there as well. And Steve Vai was on that.
Fuck yeah.
Steve Vai, my friend, and Joe Satriani also helped out with Burning Our Bed.
Yeah, that one's all right. It's not a great one, but it's not bad.
And he also did Little by Little.
Little by Little's brilliant.
Yep. And Wind Up Toy.
Wind Up Toy. I love Wind Up Toy.
Is the guitars good in Wind Up Toy?
Yes, Wind Up Toy is one of my favourite songs of all time.
You know why? Because it's fucking Joe Satriani, one of the greatest guitarists.
Wind Up Toy is a really disturbing song when you listen to it. It's really good.
Yeah?
It's about a grown man who's been locked in a padded cell, but he's got the brain of a child.
Right. So, here's the thing. So, the Halo 2 intro music, which started the guitar line that added into it, that guitar line is Joe Satriani. Steve Vai.
Okay, it's okay.
Steve Vai.
But you know what, it's not.
Go on.
The guy who pretended to be deaf.
Oh, come on. No.
No, I'll tell you what it's not. Right. It's not Nobu.
Who?
Nobu from Final Fantasy. Music by Nobu.
Oh, Nobu Uematsu. Look, the thing
it's not Crush 40. Hey, Crush 40. Oh, come on. You got to give me Crush 40. Live and learn. Hanging on the edge. Is one of them in Crush 40?
No. No, because Crush 40 is Jun Senoi.
Yeah.
And Johnny Gioeli.
Yeah.
Now, I love Crush 40. Jun Senoi is an amazing guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't quite have as much range, at least from the songs that I've heard, as Steve Vai or Joe Satriani.
Fair enough.
But, all props, Jun Senoi is still an incredible guitarist. Mm. So, yeah. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw in that little tidbit for anyone who actually likes music and music composition and, you know, actual high-quality guitarists.
Yeah.
Steve Vai is your man.
Which
people
is no
all
one.
Know Steve Vai.
So on to Halo 4, Forward Unto Dawn.
Forward
which
Unto
was
Dawn!
Originally a web series, but we've watched it in the DVD presentation, which is presented as a full-length movie.
I won't have that.
Don't you dare. I don't care that it's Blu-ray. No one cares that it's Blu-ray.
But it was high
fine,
def.
Fine. Home video release.
Yeah, right.
We watched the home video release,
I want this
which
on
is
VHS.
Edited, which is edited into one whole 90-minute movie.
Yes,
it
definitely was one glorious whole.
This is the third Halo-related adaptation we've covered,
yes.
Following Halo Legends and Halo Landfall.
Yeah, so
landfill.
Put it
in the landfill.
The irony being that we both recommended Halo Landfill.
No, Legends. Put Legends in the landfill.
Yeah, Legends goes in the landfill. That was the one that had that fucking, what was it, Fred?
Yeah.
And he's like, no, Fred. And you're like, who the Anyway, I'm not going back to Halo Legends, but who the fuck is Fred?
So, for those who don't know, just to recap, our experience with Halo, Rory has much more experience with Halo than I do. I'm not a fan of the Halo games.
No.
I have always... My brother was really into Halo, really into it when we were growing up. So I have played Halo 3, I've played Halo ODST, which is, I preferred to Halo 3. My thing with Halo is there's bits of the lore that I really like. I really like the idea of the Flood and the fact that the Forerunners, is it?
Forerunners,
had to build the Halo to kill all sentient life in the universe
because of the Flood
to try and starve the Flood.
Yep.
That's really cool.
Yep.
My problem is
Halo is one of those series, I agree with you, it's one of those series that has a lot more promise and a lot more interesting story
than it
that
delivers
it ends up ever telling.
Yeah. I also, as I think we've established by this point, 5 seasons into the goddamn show, I could not care less for the military package that it's all wrapped in.
Sure.
I hate that sort of shit. Honestly, do you know what I'd love more as a Halo game? Give me a game where I'm playing as one of these rebel farmers and the fucking Flood turn up.
Yeah?
I'd play the shit out of that.
Yeah, this is the thing. There's always a more interesting story just over the horizon that the games never quite get to.
Yeah.
Now, for anyone who's a Halo fan, I'm not quite as negative on Halo as Jamie is. I've played it since the initial one, the first one on the original Xbox. Remember playing 3 and 4 player split screen on that well before Halo even went multiplayer online in Halo 2. And then I played the shit out of multiplayer Halo 2, Halo 3, ODST, and Halo Reach. I kind of stopped after Halo 4. I haven't played Halo 5. I have got it on my Xbox. I just can't be arsed. I've heard bad things, and I haven't played the new one.
Infinite.
Yeah.
I heard nothing but bad things about Infinite.
Well, the main thing about Infinite that is terrible is it has no single player. So
oh, really?
Yeah, so it was meant to have a single player added in post via, like, an update DLC. That ended up, they ended up shit-canning because nobody liked Infinite. But apparently, according to Halo fans, the problem is that Infinite apparently has a really good engine.
Right.
Like, it plays well, but there's just nothing to do in it.
Right.
Because essentially all the stuff you'd expect in a Halo game is missing except the online multiplayer.
Right.
So it's like, what's the point? Like, most of the things that people remembered and loved about Halo, this is something that's... So it's changed hands, as you say. It started off with Bungie.
Yeah, and then it went to 343.
343 Industries, which Microsoft just created whole cloth to take over Halo when Bungie bought their rights back. Bungie lost the rights to Halo as a series as part of that split. Now, 343 Industries, again, according to Halo fans, because I haven't played Infinite, do a good job building the engines, but they miss out on the soul of the story. Bear in mind that you and I aren't big fans of the soul of the story as it is. The fact that 343 Industries can't even hit that says a lot, and to the point where Infinite has no single-player story at all anyway.
Yeah.
A lot of what Bungie did very well in Halo was environmental storytelling and leaving breadcrumbs around an environment for you to kind of get fascinated by, and at certain points fans getting obsessed with. In fact, just recently I found out there was a big mystery in Halo ODST that's now kind of been solved, but this is where your mileage will differ depending on your viewpoint. I think this will piss you off, but some fans thought it was brilliant. In ODST, there's a big secret where you walk around like the main map of New Mombasa, and there's certain points where there's these symbols. They're like Y-shaped symbols with little heads, and some of them point to your next mission and things like that. But there was also one location where you always get these enemies called the Engineers that are always hovering around locations with these symbols. Mm. And there was one where if you threw a grenade into the middle, for some reason elites just appeared and then died. Like, it was like almost like a glitch you'd expect.
Mm.
And people were wondering what all of this meant, if there was any connection to stuff. They spent about 10 goddamn years trying to solve the mystery of these glyphs. And Marty O'Donnell, one of the musicians who does the... one of the composers for Halo, or was one of the composers for Halo when it was with Bungie. Eventually, there was a YouTube channel called Rocket Sloth that figured it out. And there was loads of people sitting there going, well, it kind of matches these biblical quotes, and some of this stuff matches Dante's Inferno, and some of the blah, blah, blah. And there's a lot of these old sort of old book references, biblical references, things like that people throw in. And this is one of those things where Halo is considered really deep because it has a lot of connections to literature. But most of the time when I look at it, I'm like, are you sure it actually has these connections? Or are you just adding... Are you hoping there's more to Halo? Because it never explicitly gives you the connection to ancient literature.
Yeah.
It's just sort of implied. So, and to be fair to Bungie, that seemed to grab an audience. Whether or not you agree with it, or whether or not
it... Oh yeah, there's no doubt it was successful as hell.
Yeah. And it kept people coming back to games, which otherwise they might have walked away from ages ago. But with this particular mystery, it got to a point where there were so many clues given out by Marty O'Donnell and things like that for 10 years. And eventually, he basically made this mention of what turned out to be Occam's Razor. And they realised, oh, it's basically just, we put these here to fuck with you. And when they posted that and went, we think it might just be this, Marty O'Donnell was like, bingo, you got it. And it's like, so 10 years worth of mystery, looking into these glyphs and all this stuff, and it's just like, eh, we're just fucking about.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's cool in one way, because bear in mind, this one fuck about kept fans coming back.
Yeah.
To this old game.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, like, people who play Halo are, in my opinion, very similar to Call of Duty players. It's not the new ones, who gives a fuck. And yet they keep going back to the older games because there's something more in them.
Yeah.
But also it's kind of a bit shit that after 10 years, it's just, eh, we're just fucking with it, whatever. Yeah. It's so, your mileage varies depending on your viewpoint. I don't think Halo is half as deep as people give it credit for.
No.
There is a lot of things in there that I wish they would do more of. And this film, bringing it back to this film, Forward Unto Dawn certainly had the opportunity to delve into that backstory. Because one of the things that's not given a lot of focus, because the whole games is just you play as Master Chief, go beat Alien in face. Let's be honest, it's as basic as that shit.
Can we talk about how stupid of a name Master Chief is for your protagonist?
It's not a bad name.
It's awful.
Why is it a bad name?
Are you being serious?
He's the chief of his unit, and he's the master chief.
It's awful. It's so bad.
What would you have called him?
Not that. Like,
good lieutenant.
I remember the first time I found out that he's called Master Chief, when my brother told me...
I mean, it's not really a shock review.
And I... No, but I didn't know that, because I hadn't played Halo. I'd just seen the picture of him on the cover, and then my brother made mention of Master Chief, and I laughed and laughed and laughed at him, because it's so stupid.
Why? I don't get why it's stupid.
Because for starters, it's not a real rank.
Chief is a rank. Like, it's a petty officer rank.
You might as well call him Captain Lieutenant.
Chief O'Brien in Star Trek. It's a petty officer rank.
But you might as well call him Captain Lieutenant. And also...
No, because Master's not a rank.
And also...
He's the Master of Chiefs.
But there's no other Chiefs!
Because they're all dead.
Exactly! So he's not Master Chief anymore.
Well, he's just Chief.
Just call him John.
Well, no, because...
Which is his real name, isn't it?
John is his real name.
Exactly.
John Spartan.
Yeah, exactly. That's a better name.
Actually, is his name John Spartan? Because John Spartan's the name of Sylvester Stallone in
Demolition Man.
I know he's a Spartan.
So he's John the Spartan.
I think Spartan might be his actual surname, though.
That's a better name, then.
John Spartan.
Yeah, that's a better name. It's still silly.
What I will say, actually, I've just looked up his biography on Halopedia.org. So, you know, it's a good source. He doesn't have a surname. He is a Spartan-type warrior. His first name is John, but he's just referenced as John-117, which is his unit number that's painted on his armour. But the Master Chief thing, it's because his name, as I stated, is Master Chief Petty Officer. And they shortened it to Master Chief.
Okay. So
it is a rank.
I'm just being argumentative here because I'm drunk. But so you're telling me the man who is like 7 feet tall and weighs 400 pounds and could probably take out the entire rest of the UNSC single-handedly is only a petty officer?
To be fair...
Shouldn't he be like whatever the highest rank is, like admirable?
I think the
admiral.
Admirable.
Admirable Admiral Master Chief.
Well, I think the reason is probably because... So, this is where we can go into lore a little bit, but I'm not going to go too deep, but...
No, I'm just going to take back what I've said anyway.
It's because the Spartan program was basically slavery and abuse of children by a military organisation.
I take back everything I said anyway, because you know what? Have at it. I like a game where the main character's called Doom Guy, so...
By the way...
And a game where the main villain's called Albert Wesker.
Sure. So
someone laughed at me for that, you know.
What, Albert Wesker?
Yeah. Because the thing is, they're not wrong.
Albert's not
a lead villain name.
Wesker's good, though.
Wesker's great. Wesker's a great name.
Wesker's what salvages Albert.
This was the thing. It was a guy I went to uni with who kind of liked Resident Evil, but not as much as I did.
Right.
And he only knew him as Wesker. He didn't know it was Albert Wesker.
I mean, if he just went around, "Oh, hi, I'm Albert."
Yeah.
You'd be like,
"Cuz when you
get
think about
out
it,
of here,
cuz when you think about it, Chris never calls him Albert Wesker.
Chris is
always like, "Wesker. We got to stop Wesker."
Cuz he was his boss.
But yeah, so fair play. Have your Master Chief. Keep him.
I just want to say this though. Master Chief Petty Officer is an actual rank, sometimes abbreviated to MCPO. But the nickname for Master Chief Petty Officer is not Master Chief. That's just a name they created for Halo.
Oh my god, go on. Is it like...
You'll hate it even more. Imagine if Master Chief was called Top Chief.
Better.
Top Chief is
Top Chief. It sounds like he's a massive bear topping all these twinks. In the UNSC. What's his name? What's the Halo equivalent of Carmine? You were telling me about him.
What, Johnson?
Is it Johnson?
What, the black dude?
I don't know. You said there was like a Halo equivalent to Carmine.
No, there isn't.
There isn't?
No.
Oh.
Well, no.
He was like a young soldier.
I said there was a guy called Johnson who was in the first three games and he dies twice and they just make a joke of him coming back.
Yeah, fine. Master Chief. Sounds like Master Chief's topping him.
Right. Right.
Top G.
Anyway.
Fucking Andrew Tate. Andrew Tate is Master Chief. Imagine Master Chief with Andrew Tate's voice.
Yeah. Now, the problem is Ford Unto Dawn has the opportunity to delve into, and it nearly gets there. Mm. It kind of touches on that Starship Troopers idea in the first half, where you have a far right military. Mm. They keep quoting Roman scripture.
Yeah.
They keep on, you know, they're saying basically service is life, essentially.
Yeah.
You're worthless, like, maggot if you're not devoting yourself to the military, which is kind of cool. Obviously, it's been done before, as in Starship Troopers. Mm. But I like the inclusion of it.
Every negative review I've found for this is comparing it unfavorably to Starship Troopers.
Right, that's interesting.
And calling it a poor imitation of Starship Troopers.
Which is understandable. That being said, though, it never completes that arc.
No.
Because of the second half, the UNSC become our heroes, which would be fine, but then never comes round to paying off the idea that they've been stuck in... Like, there's a few questions by the main guy in it, where it's just like, are we just continuing death? Like, these people aren't my enemy. Which is great, but it never pays off towards the end.
So, let me break this down, because this is... I feel like we've gone on a slight tangent here talking about the Halo franchise as a whole. So, let's focus down onto Forward Unto Dawn.
Yes.
So, I went into this with very low expectations, because as I said, I don't like Halo. Legends was garbage.
Oh, it was so bad.
I haven't seen it yet, but the Paramount show looks garbage. It all looks garbage to me.
I have seen the Paramount show. The first season, anyway. The new second season, as of recording, releases today.
Oh, okay.
But it wasn't... The first half starts off strong, and then it goes terrible.
Right. So we went into this, and I went in with low expectations. And then I saw that it was this military thing. And there's a weird filter over the whole first half of the movie that gives everything this... I tell you what it is, it's almost a sepia tone.
Yeah,
in a lot
it's almost
of the
grayscale
scenes.
For most of
it's
it.
It's awful. And I'm watching it, and I was like, oh, God, I don't care about this. It's the main character's a guy called Lasky, who... Well, actually, no. I'm going to back up even further, because we're going to talk about the actual opening first. Because the actual opening... Do you remember how I said Halo is a franchise that's always had ideas that I think sounds cool?
Mm.
So one of the ideas Halo had that I thought sounded cool was the idea that AI, i.e. Cortana, after a prolonged amount of time, go crazy, a.k.a. rampant is the term they use.
Yeah.
And I knew that Halo 4 sort of had that as a storyline.
Yep.
This film starts with a voiceover from Cortana as Master Chief is asleep in hypersleep from the ship at the end of Halo 3.
Yeah, which is Forward Unto Dawn.
3. And she's doing this speech about how she's had 4 long years they've been floating in space, and he gets to sleep, but all she gets to do is think, and it's driving her crazy. And I was like, cool, great, love this.
Yep.
I'm totally down for this. It's not what the film's about.
No.
It's not what the film's about at all. If you're good, and I know, you had to have this to connect it to Halo 4, put it at the end.
Yeah.
Don't put it at the beginning, because the problem with putting it at the beginning is
you're setting
up
the rest of the film.
Yeah, you set me up for a film that I then don't get.
Yeah.
Anyway, that bit kind of lasts 5 minutes and then it's gone. Then, as Rory stated, you can almost split this film into two halves. And we're going to deal with it in two halves, because the first half, I fucking hate.
Yeah.
And the second half, I actually surprisingly liked.
Yeah.
And the second half did make me appreciate the first half slightly more.
Yep.
But still not a great amount. Basically, it's a military training academy, UNSC training academy, and you've got a squad of recruits who we are told that they're in the program because they are the sons and daughters of the most elite members of the UNSC. So, Lasky, our main character, his mum is some sort of high-ranking admiral or something like that.
We don't actually get her rank, but she is basically... Yeah, she's considered to be a high-up in the UNSC.
Yeah, and his
and it's
brother.
Mentioned, yeah, and it's mentioned that he didn't get much support or love from her as a person.
Because she was always away. She's like an ambassador or something, isn't she?
I don't know. I think she's a military officer, because it's mentioned that, you know, that's why they had great expectations for him.
His brother is also an officer in the military, and he's been away fighting a battle.
Mm.
And the bit that I didn't expect was they're actually... At the start of the film, they're not fighting the Covenant. They're actually putting down a farmer's rebellion.
Yes. We don't see any of the farmer's rebellion, really, apart from one shot which introduces the Covenant, essentially.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it would have been nice to have seen, you know, who they're attacking, but instead we're just getting people training to fight the war against the farmer's rebellion.
Yeah.
Again, these are all great hints at an interesting story of military dictatorship, you know, pushing past its boundaries and attacking its own people.
Yeah.
That we end up not really getting any of.
No. Instead, we get what's a fairly standard plot for this sort of film, where within this trainee group of your recruits, you've got Lasky, your main guy, who, you know, he's not really sure he wants to be a soldier, and he's got doubts about his commanding officer. his love interest. You've got the rival guy who's very like, God damn it, Lasky, you got to follow orders. I'm a big bullshit guy, blah, blah, blah. This is a slightly more nerdy guy, etc., etc. And this is what makes the first half so difficult to sit through.
Yeah.
Is
it just was generic.
It's not a story type I care for at the best of times.
Yeah.
And this is not the best version of the story type.
No.
It does feel like a lesser Starship Troopers, this first bit.
Very much so.
We also learn that Lasky has a rare condition where he's actually allergic to the coolant that they use in the dropships. It's the dropships.
Yeah, when they drop them. I think it is a hypersleep thing as well, but it's like when they get dropped.
In the orbital dropshot. Yeah, troopers.
I think it's part of that as well.
Right.
But definitely when they put into hypersleep, he's allergic to that.
Yeah. And we see obviously that he doesn't like following orders either, does he? So they keep doing these training exercises and he keeps costing them the win because he won't follow orders. They eventually give him the opportunity to
lead.
Mm. And this is where we get our typical, which fair enough, at least they're showing, not telling. Oh, he actually is quite a smart warrior because he can think outside the box. Yeah. Because he actually leads his team to victory by removing the helmets that they all wear.
Which is how they track each other.
Which you would think, well, that's dumb because you're exposing yourself. But actually, the tracking chips that they're all using to monitor each other on their radar is in the helmets.
Yeah. The only downside that they don't mention is that the protective goggles for their eyes are also in the helmets. So when they remove the helmets, if they got shot in the face, they'd be blinded.
Yeah.
He should have been pulled up on that.
Yes.
Because it's like, we love the strategy, but for a training exercise, try not to blind your own team.
Well, it should have been like in Top Gun Maverick, I think it is, where there's a bit where, like, Tom Cruise... I think it's Tom Cruise. I've only seen Top Gun Maverick once. But I'm sure he, like, pulls off this training mission that they want him to pull off, but he does it using, like, a really dangerous technique.
Right.
So he gets in trouble afterwards.
Yeah.
Where they're like, well, we don't care. Because he's like, well, I don't get it. I passed the test, didn't I?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, but that was an irresponsible maneuver, and we don't want other pilots copying it, etc.
Yeah.
There's not a lot to talk about in this first half, but it basically goes exactly how you think it's going to go.
Yeah.
There's sort of an attempt to love interest between him and Anna Popperwell's character.
Yep.
Him and the bully sort of does, after the scene where he takes off the headgear and wins, that kind of helps bury the beef with the bully.
Yeah.
And he gets a sort of grudging respect for him.
Yeah.
He eventually gets what he wants, which is he's told that because of his allergy to the coolant in the ODST system, he can actually be medically discharged from the army.
Yeah.
And they ask him to make a decision about this. Fortunately, we are spared as an audience from another 24 hours of him mulling this over, because the real heroes of this film, the Covenant, decide to show up.
Now, before we get to that, during this second fourth of the film, there is a growing storyline where someone manages to get hold of a quote-unquote illegal footage of the UNSC putting down the farmers' rebellion that they're fighting against. But all of a sudden, during the footage, it becomes clear that the farmers and the UNSC are working together. And then it cuts, and they're like, well, why the hell would the UNSC be fighting alongside the farmers' rebellion? That makes no sense. And then you get a little bit more drip-fed later where they see one of the UNSC get thrown and smashed against a wall. They see the helmet of a Spartan, and they're like, what the hell is that? Like, that's not a typical headset for the UNSC. And then they notice in the reflection of the Spartan's helmet, they see an elite from the Covenant side. And it is very much like that whole Blade Runner, zoom in and enhance. But yeah, they see that there's like this vague outline of an elite with a beam sword. And they're like, what the hell is all this shit? And then during the course of that night, as they're about to go to bed, an alarm sounds and they have to rush to evacuate. They're all told they need to evacuate. And as they rush for the evacuation point, there's another girl there, a blonde girl, who also comes. Like, it's stated that his whole team is made of people who have high ups in the military. One of their team worms her way onto the first shuttle escaping, because she's, you know, you know who my mother is, blah, 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 blah. So the UNSC officer lets her on. And as the shuttle goes up to, you know, evacuate, it gets blown up by the Covenant. And then we see the Covenant dropships come down.
Yeah. Now, can I just check, because I'm not super familiar with Halo, just so I've got my enemy types right.
Yep.
The Elite are what the Arbiter is.
Yep.
The little guys are grunts.
Yep, they're not screaming. In this film, which is smart.
They're briefly in it. They're briefly in it. Yeah, they start very briefly, thank God.
You have
they
the jackals in
start
this film.
To rain down on. There's a bit where there's a glass roof. I think it's literally just after this bit. There's a bit with a glass room and a load of little. You see those little bodies like dropping onto it.
Oh, okay.
And just based on their size, the only thing I can think that they are is the grunts.
Maybe it is then. Maybe
brutes are the big fellas, aren't they?
Brutes are the big fellas. They're not in this.
There was a brute.
Was there a brute in this?
I feel like there was.
No, I don't know.
Only glimpse. It was barely glimpsed.
Oh, okay. Maybe
running away in the car, I'm sure.
Maybe there's a blink and you'll miss it.
Then I know there's the big thing with the tentacles that
you've
they
got the jackals who have the shields.
Right. What's the big, like the final boss, for lack of a better word?
Christ. I can't remember what they're called. They've been in it since the first game.
Tank?
No. So the elites are also known as the Sangheili or Sangheili. That's their name. You've got the prophets who weren't seen in this. Actually, there might have been a prophet in one of the early scenes. They're the ones in the hover chairs that run the things. That's it. The Lekgolo, they're called, but they're known mostly as hunters.
Right.
And they're the big ones. They're basically, they're not one entity, technically. They're a whole bunch of worms working as one.
Yes. Basically the leech men from Resident Evil Zero.
And the grunts are known as Ungoe.
Nice. Now, I want to make clear to the audience how different the quality of the film suddenly becomes at this point.
Yes.
So, all the way through that first half, I'm not going to lie, I was bored out of my mind and was sort of resigned to this film being trash. To my surprise, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, the film actually starts building some suspense. And I actually really like this Covenant attack on the base.
Yeah.
I actually think this plays pretty well. And one of the reasons it plays so well, other than the actors actually do sell it, I want to credit the makers of this. Because it's not a high budget thing. In fact, some of the bad reviews quite... One review claims that this looks worse than TOS Star Trek, which is not true. It's not true.
Plus, TOS Star Trek don't look that bad.
They've done a really good
season three.
Yeah, they've done a really good job in this. I felt of using the budget wisely.
Yes.
In the sense that, and this might disappoint some Halo fans, you don't see a whole lot. A lot of the monsters are glimpsed.
Mm.
Briefly, they've saved all their budget for the big hunter at the end.
Yep.
And like even the elite, they basically give it the predator. I don't know if they have this in the game, but they give it the predator's cloaking power in this.
They do have cloaks
right.
in the game.
So they have an excuse to not show it very often.
Yeah.
But I can appreciate that because they're working with a low budget. And actually, the golden rule with monster movies... And that is what they shoot this as,
yeah.
which is a totally smart idea.
Yep.
The golden rule is less is more.
Yeah.
Because becoming overly familiar with the monster is what stops the monster being scary.
Yeah. Also, I'd much rather they do it this way than the opposite, which is where whatever limited budget they've got, they pour into having like a big war scene with hundreds of brutes and hundreds of elites and that fighting Spartans and UNSC warriors. Because, you know, with the budget level they've got... The CGI would look absolutely garbage.
Yeah,
so, you know what? Keep it small, keep it intimate, and go that route. It's a much better and smarter option.
Yeah, there are a handful of moments in this where the CGI shows its
of course.
Cheapness. Of course, mostly when the hunter turns up.
Yeah.
But actually, this whole bit with the elite that's chasing them and they hide in this room, don't they? And they seal the door, and then it's banging on the door to try and get in. And the group end up separated, don't they? The bully character ends up.
On the other side.
On the opposite side.
Yeah, they're hiding behind the gun racks.
Yeah, I felt this worked really well.
Yeah.
I thought they did a really good job in this whole seat. The whole second half, I thought, is actually done pretty well. And maybe that's because my expectations were so low. But they do a really good job on the limited budget they've got. of selling the panic that floods through the base as the, like, it feels like a big moment when the Covenant ships come through the cloud
that
barrier.
Feels like a shit your pants moment,
and it's like a fuck.
When you see the UNSC, sorry, the ODSTs dropping as well, and they go, what the hell is that? Oh, it's the ODSTs. Why are they dropping ODSTs here?
Yeah, that looks
pretty good. At that point, you're like, oh, shit, something's going to happen. Like, yeah. It really does hit you.
The problem with this, slight problem, I don't know if you felt the same way, this film does not make it at all clear that this is all taking place in the past.
So,
so I was really confused, like, at the beginning when, like, they didn't know who Master Chief or what a Spartan was.
Yeah.
I was like, hang on, this is, like, the most famous warrior. Like, because it's called Halo 4, I assumed
it was Halo part of the Halo 4 timeline.
Happened.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this guy's famous as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, that would be like in Avengers 4 if someone was like, oh, who are you to Captain America?
Yeah. What's like, an Iron Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, I see your point. That, to be fair, that's not a fault of the script insofar as it's not conveyed well in the first half that we're going back in time. I think the idea, obviously, we see older Lasky, don't we, in the Halo 4 period. It looks at him and then it goes like basically into his eyes or some shit. And then it takes us back to seeing young Lasky, who we follow for most of the series.
To be fair, I won't forget. I won't lie. I completely forgot he had done that.
Yeah.
Until he turns up again at the end and I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah, it's a flashback. But the other thing that they do well when it comes to conserving their budget, when Master Chief comes along, number one, he is tall as shit. When it feels like, oh my god, this is a big dude. There's a lot of times where they try and do a similar thing, but they'll cast like Tom Cruise as Master Chief or something, and you're like, dude, like he's five foot shorter than everyone.
Well, that's the problem with Jack Reacher, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know the film Jack Reacher?
I like Jack Reacher. What's wrong with Jack Reacher?
Well, no. I've not seen it, and I've heard it's a good film, the first one. But the book character, Jack Reacher, it is explicitly stated in every book in that franchise that Jack Reacher is 6'5" and weighs 300 and something pounds.
That's not tough.
There was a massive fan backlash when Cruise's casting was announced.
Right.
Because, literally, I've only read one of the Jack Reacher books. I didn't even read it. I listened to it as an audiobook at the gym.
Yeah.
But it constantly describes his physical size. He's got hands the size of ham hocks. He's got, you know, he's 6'5". He's 300 pounds. He's ridiculously strong. The guy, because, you know, they've done a Jack Reacher TV series now.
Yeah.
The guy playing him is Alan Richson, who is like 6'5" and muscly as fuck.
Yeah.
He was, do you remember in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they did the episode with young Hitchcock and Scully?
Yes.
And they're both like ripped, handsome guys. Mm. He was the rippest and handsomest of them.
Oh, okay.
I think he was Hitchcock, I think.
No, Scully, I think.
Oh, Scully.
Because he had the top hat, the flat top.
The blonde, yeah. That's Jack Reacher. That's the new Jack Reacher.
Oh, nice. That's a good choice.
And he matches physically what Jack Reacher is supposed to be.
Right.
When they cast Tom Cruise, loads of people were like,
really?
What?
Yeah.
Like, I like Tom Cruise as an actor.
Yeah. He's
but
fantastic.
if a key factor of your character is you're 6'5",
don't cast
Tom Cruise.
No.
It's the same as when a key factor of your character is that they're fat enough to be shaped like an egg. You don't cast Jim Carrey. But whatever.
Whatevs. Anyway. When Master Chief comes along, the costumes, as I know you don't like the general design of Master Chief.
No, he looks like Master Chief.
But he looks like Master Chief.
The problem is, and this is why, spoiler alert, this is why I'm not going to be able to recommend the film.
Right.
If you don't know Halo, this film does absolutely nothing to explain who Master Chief is.
Yeah, he just sort of turns up.
He literally just turns up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And that's great for Halo fans, and to be fair, I can't imagine there's many non-Halo fans watching this, but looking at the reviews I've looked at, there are a few.
Yeah, I think there are people that were trying to use this as a good way to get into
Halo.
Halo.
Yeah, which
and then they were
not.
Sitting there going, I have no idea what the fuck's going on. The other thing as well is, where they don't set him up properly, it does give it that feel of fan fiction rather than its own actual, you know, its own substance as a film. Because they never actually question him. When he's there, they never question him. He goes, I'm a Spartan. You get a little glimpse of it at the end when two of the other Spartans take off their helmets. And they're like, how old are you? Classified. You know, that's kind of cool. But we don't get enough of that. The other thing that they spent the budget well on was on the Warthog, which is the Jeep with the mounted gun on the back. That looks really good. It's a physical, actual prop that's there that they use. And when they are doing the escape from the base on the Warthog, it's shot at night. This is definitely the point where we need to comment on the cinematography suddenly just flip changing on its head. The first half is boring as shit to look at. It's almost completely grayscale, as you say.
Sepia. It's that yellow tone.
Yeah, they basically reduce down the contrast and the saturation. But when it gets to this half, they do the opposite.
Mm.
It's pitch black nearly, because it's all shot at night. But then they light it all with bright neons and stuff. And it looks amazing.
Yeah, all the... So they're driving through, like, a wooded area, and you see all the green Covenant shields...
Yeah.
...coming through the trees, and that actually works really well.
Yep.
Because, it helps save you budget, because the shields aren't as hard to do as the actual aliens themselves.
Yep, and you can hide them in the darkness.
And what they do instead is you literally just... You get the idea that, oh, shit, there's loads of them. Because you're just seeing loads of these green discs, which is way cheaper and way better looking on their budget than, oh, we're going to CGI 50 aliens.
Yeah, and have them all walk and animate individually.
Yeah, through the trees, yeah.
Yeah, and if you make them all walk in step, it looks awful as well. So, yeah, this is the best way to do it on the budget. Also, while it's not perfect, the hunter at the end is not badly done at all.
No,
there's a few shots close up where you can see it's a bit ropey.
Yeah, I can forgive it for the budget it's got.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, if you take it for the budget it still looks pretty damn good. So overall, I actually really enjoyed the second half of this.
Mm. They try and pull... So basically at the end, Master Chief goes away for a bit, doesn't he, to try and sort of create a diversion.
Yes.
And Popplewell's character ends up getting shot with a needler.
Yeah, she gets a needler in the gut and that ends up killing her.
Yeah. And they try and tug on your heartstrings a bit here, which has mixed results. It works a little
bit. Her character's not very likable.
That's the problem. It would have worked better if Laskian... I actually don't know Popplewell's character's name, I'm afraid.
That's all right.
But if Lasky and her... If their relationship had felt more believable, I would care a lot more.
Yeah.
And ultimately, Lasky chooses to use himself as bait to lure the hunter away,
yes,
to draw its fire, which allows Master Chief to... And I know this is a thing you can do in the game, isn't it? Sticking grenades onto the enemy.
That's the best way to kill a hunter, is to grenade it in the back with a sticky grenade. It is honestly the best way to kill them. Because otherwise, they take a million odd bullets to take down, but only about one or two grenades.
Yeah.
So it is the best way to do it.
Her
name, by the way, is, I don't know how to say that first name, Chyler, so like Chyla or Kyla? Chyler. Chyla or Kyla?
Chyla, I think.
Chyla, probably, yeah. Chyla Silver.
Okay.
Is her name.
They then get on to, I assume you know the name of it, but the plane they get on.
Oh, the Pelican.
Pelican.
Yeah.
They go to a Pelican, and then you get a completely unnecessary scene that I didn't need, where, as you say, there's suddenly three Spartans.
Yeah, it's annoying that to have introduced two that we didn't see do literally anything. But Master Chief's like, I'm on my own. No, I won't leave them. Yeah. And you're like, well, you're not on your own. Where are the other two fucking Spartans?
Two take the helmet off. Master Chief doesn't, because even this film, you know, unlike the Paramount Plus show, this film knows that Master Chief's a character whose helmet should stay on.
Yep.
And they're just like... What they've clearly done is, like, taken two actors, de-aged them, and then CGI'd them enough to make them look like they're genetic mutants.
Yeah, they look a little bit off, don't they? They don't look quite human.
They reminded me of the film Splice and the girl in that.
Yeah.
Because their eyes look too far apart, don't they?
Yeah, but that's by design.
Yeah. I'm not saying that's the actors. I'm saying they've deliberately...
You never know.
Well, yeah, maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like they've CGI'd them to give them, like, an ethereal-type look.
Yeah.
Didn't need it. See, in a film that has done nothing to... If this was a film that had gone into the atrocities of the UNSC and gone into the atrocities of the Spartan program,
this
would be very good and very impactful, because it'd be like, shit, you are just...
You are fucked up.
Children, basically.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. This is what I think the first half should have done. Because the idea of the first half isn't bad per se. The problem is there's not enough in it in that first half to justify the length. they needed to, they start right at the end putting the breadcrumbs in of, oh my god, they're like the UNSC are fighting with the farmers, and then you get that shot of a Spartan, what the fuck is that? But that needed to come in earlier, I think, and then they needed to start learning about what the fuck is the Spartan program, and that would have then led to this point at the end. This payoff would have worked a lot better.
I agree.
See you after the break.
Now, I did look at reviews that this film has gotten.
Before we do the reviews,
okay,
I just want to talk about awards that this has won.
Mm-hmm.
This did quite well in some awards. So, for example, it received numerous awards and nominations at the 3rd Streamy Awards. It won categories of Best Drama Series, Best Production Design, Best Cinematography, and Best Editing. So, first of all, Jamie, what is your view on those?
At what award show?
3rd Streamy Awards.
I don't want to be mean. But of course it did. Of course it did. What was the competition?
What, in a stream? Yeah, I suppose in a
stream-based. Don't get me wrong, this isn't a high-budget thing, but it still has Microsoft money behind it.
It's true.
I guarantee that pretty much nothing else nominated had Microsoft money behind it.
Possibly not.
Yeah, so best editing, fine, yeah. What was it, best story?
Best drama series.
Best drama series, like...
I don't think it...
I don't know. Without knowing what it was nominated against, it's hard to call.
Sure, but I think Best Drama Series, I'm not saying it doesn't deserve to win an award, and again, we don't know what it was up against, but Best Drama Series, it's not really a drama because there's too much missing from the first half. Best Production Design, I have to say, did very well with the production design, as we say, and the cinematography in the second half is fantastic.
Mm.
The second cinematography in the first half, not quite so much for me.
Yeah.
It was also nominated but did not win Best Action or Sci-Fi Series, which seems like merging two of the most, like, two of the biggest genres into one seems a bit weird.
Yeah, they don't seem... It's the same reason I don't like when they merge horror and fantasy in a lot of award ceremonies.
Yeah, it's like, no, those are two separate things. Like, fucking Lord of the Rings and Nightmare on Elm Street are not the same genre by any stretch. And then it also got nominated but didn't win Best Writing Drama.
Yeah, this doesn't deserve any writing awards.
No, I don't. Again, it could have done, but that first half is too dry. There's nowhere near enough going on in that first half. And the second half is a great action film, but it doesn't have any depth in it either, because the depth should have been in Act One.
Yeah.
And then also there was nominations for Best Male and Female Performance in a Drama, which was...
Absolutely not.
Tom Green and Anna Popplewell.
Yeah, not. No, no, no. They're not that good.
Fair enough. Forward Unto Dawn was nominated in the 65th Primetime Emmy Awards.
Fuck me.
Yep. In the category of Outstanding Main Title Design.
I don't remember the main
titles. I don't
remember
the main titles either.
It don't mean the Cortana bit, does it?
I don't think so. I think what it means is the bit... like Is the font? I don't know, but it was hosted on CBS. It's like it's the proper Emmy Awards.
Yeah.
It's yeah, Outstanding Main Title Design.
Hmm, interesting.
But yeah, so it had obviously the Streamy Awards. We don't really have a judgment on what it should compare with. Weirdly enough, though, here's an interesting one for you. The current award winner for the main title design of Emmys from last year, 2023.
Last of Us.
Last of Us. To be fair, the intro title sequence for Last of Us is fantastic. And I'll be honest, it's also the best thing of the Halo series from last year as well.
Really?
That intro title for Halo, the music and everything, they got it spot on. Unfortunately, the rest of the series, not so much.
Ah, well.
Wow. The idea of best intro title goes back to 1976.
Oh, cool.
Honestly, I thought that would have been something they added in the last 10 years just as a... you also win something awards.
Mm.
But no, apparently not.
So I've tried looking up some reviews for this film, and it has got quite a lot of positives on IMDb, a lot of 10 out of 10s.
Yeah.
But it does have some bad ones as well, and the defining difference seems to be that the 10 out of 10s come from people who are big Halo fans.
Yep.
And the bad reviews come from people who do not really know Halo. So I want to read one of them to you.
Yeah.
This is a 1 star out of 10 review.
That seems unfair.
With the simple title, Terrible. I have not played the Halo games. Based on this movie, I am inclined never to do so. The plot, if you can call it that, is a confused mess. It starts with an introduction comprising a sequence of snapshots from some kind of disaster aboard a spaceship with some woman, the only survivor of those on board, talking inexplicably about having spent 4 years doing nothing but thinking. You as the viewer can't possibly figure out what any of it means, but you think that, well, this is one of those deliberately confusing intros that will make sense as the story unfolds. It never does. In fact, it doesn't connect in any way with anything that follows. The next 60% or so of the movie is devoted to a bunch of cadets at a futuristic military academy. That part is slow-moving, boring, shallow, uninteresting, routine, trite, and predictable. Wow, say how you really feel, mate. As another reviewer said, it's all been done before in other movies. Now it's just uninteresting. Suddenly, there's a complete change in direction in the plot, if you can call it that, remember. When some aliens attack the academy for no apparent reason. Almost everyone is wiped out, but a few survivors are saved by yet another new entrant to the cast, who is also never explained. Oh, I didn't know this. Much of the movie apparently comprises a replay of a documentary tape being viewed by some military bigwig whose presence and significance never are explained. I think he's confused there. That's Lasky in the future.
Yeah, I think that's what it... Yeah, he's getting confused. Yeah. Isn't he?
My 3-year-old grandchildren make up better stories than this.
Do they film them as well? Or?
You don't know. They could be prodigies. Wunderkind. They could be wunderkind.
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 Fair enough. I mean, I disagree with how horrible he is about the series,
yeah, but he's not wrong.
He's not wrong on several points.
Yeah, for someone who doesn't know Halo already, this is a confusing mess. Because the Spartans are never explained, Master Chief is never explained, nope. Who the Covenant are, what the war is, that's never explained. Nope. The UNSC are never explained. Nope. They're just a generic military dictatorship. Yeah.
You get little breadcrumbs here and there, but again, as we've said already, it's not enough to pad out that first half fully, which is a shame because actually this could be quite an important piece of media if it dared to capitalize on, you know, the dictatorship elements of the UNSC. It could be quite an interesting story. Probably wouldn't still be a big seller because of its low budget roots, but a lot of the things that I'm asking for from, like, I would ask for, so sorry, if we were able to redo this again, even on the same or similar budget, it's script.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, we need more big bangs, whoops, we need more budget, we need more fucking this, that, and the other. It's, we need a bit more story in the first half to establish the things we want to pay off later. And we need to establish what a Spartan is and who the fuck Master Chief is. But again, I think you are right in that this wasn't really designed with new or non-Halo players in mind.
Because you don't... I don't know if there's a way of saying this that's nice. You don't do a web series to introduce new people.
No.
You also don't call it Halo 4 Forward Unto Dawn.
That's true.
If you're trying to attract a new audience, you do a full film, like a feature film adaptation, as in cinema release, and you just call it Halo, or you do a TV series like they're doing now. Mm. The TV series is clearly designed to get new people in. Yeah, in fact, it sounds like they're probably going for a new audience over the established audience.
Yeah, they've thrown away basically everything from Halo, and they're just using the name and Master Chief's brand name.
Is the Covenant still in it?
Covenant's in it. The Covenant are well done when they're first introduced, at least. But the Covenant soon become very unimportant to the overall storyline, which is another stupid idea. The Flood haven't been introduced yet, at least not properly. It's literally just, so the one thing that they're doing in the new series, and we should really cover this when we cover that show, is that what I like is that they are covering the idea of the Spartan program and how the people that are now adult Spartans, they're locked out of their feelings by a chip rather than by training, which some
So they're
Halo
Cybermen?
in a way. There are some Halo fans that hate that, and I can understand why, because they're no longer just great soldiers because of they've been conditioned in a brutal fashion. This is the problem. They always do this thing where they touch on how shitty the UNSC is, but they have to pull it back enough that you're still compassionate for the UNSC. So even though they've abused these children to the point where now they're adults, they've been brainwashed, it still has to be, well, we put a chip in them, so it's not that they've been brainwashed and configured by, you know, abuse from the UNSC. And I think that is a downside.
That's just as bad, though. That doesn't make them any more likable.
But it means that it's something that can be switched off.
Switched off,
easily.
But still!
Yeah. Yeah, it's still a bit bollocks. I'll be honest, though, with the new Halo series, there was a character I really liked, who at first I thought, oh, this is going to be an annoying character, which is a female Spartan. I can't remember her name. Mm. But there's a female Spartan who kicks a lot of ass, actually, in the series. But at first, it's like, oh, okay, here we go. Like, she's going to be the strong female lead that takes over and is more important than Master Chief. Actually, she's the best thing in it.
That was the big criticism a lot of people had when the trailers came out, wasn't it?
What was her being in it?
People thought Master Chief was going to get relegated.
Well, he doesn't, but what they do is they change who Master Chief is in every essential way, so he's not really Master Chief anymore. This female character's brilliant. Brand new character. Fantastic character arc. She is the first one to detach the emotion chip, and then she starts to learn about herself, so she like paints her hair and shit, and I'm like, this is someone discovering themselves in adulthood, having been switched off from it. And I was like, that's a cool storyline, but she's still trying to, but like, she still has a job to do. Mm. And it's how then the emotions interfere with her job,
right?
Which is a really cool storyline. I like that. That's a great one. The problem they have is, while that's happening, which is great, they have two other storylines going on. They have one which goes literally nowhere with some farmer chick and an ex-Spartan guy that Master Chief brings her to keep her alive, quote-unquote, just fucking about on some desert planet that goes nowhere.
Right.
Like, literally goes nowhere. You could cut it all from the show and no one would care. Unless that pays off big in season two, but honestly, I don't give a shit. The other problem is Master Chief's story. Which is obviously, you think, the biggest story. Well, basically, they've added this new element where the Covenant have taken a human girl from one of their attacks, and as she's grown up, they've indoctrinated her into the Covenant way of thinking so that they can use her to infiltrate the UNSC or something at this point and help with the destruction of humanity or the takeover of humanity. And she ends up fucking Master Chief.
Right.
And I don't mean, I mean literally.
Yeah.
Like, he's got his helmet off the whole fucking time anyway and just starts crunching boots with this girl who's just like, oh yeah, maybe I do like humanity after 5 seconds of being with them despite years. And it's just like, oh, fuck off. Like, Master Chief does not go shagging random chicks. That's Duke Nukem. If you want that story, do Duke Nukem. That's not Master Chief.
Yeah.
So I can understand why Halo fans were angry with Season 1. We'll see if they do a flip reversal with Season 2. Maybe they'll improve it. Maybe they'll learn from the mistakes.
Maybe.
Or they'll double down. This is one of those things where the company goes one of two ways.
I do know they've already confirmed that Master Chief ain't going to be putting his helmet on.
Ever?
Apparently barely ever.
Oh, fuck's sake. I know Pablo Schreiber.
Yeah, he's Liev Schreiber's brother.
Mm.
Yeah, half-brother, I think, when I looked it up. People are dragging him online at the minute because he's come out and said you basically can't do your job as an actor that way, and loads of people are going,
the Mandalorian's already done it, man.
Big Papa Pascal.
Yeah.
In Mandalorian. And half at time, it's not even him under the fucking helmet.
Yeah. You can do a lot with a voice if you can act.
I mean, I get what they mean. I can see both sides.
It is easier to have an emotional conversation with a face rather than a mask.
I can see both sides. It depends what they're going for.
Yeah.
If you were going to have Master Chief, if you're going to have loads of other human characters and they're your emotional center, and Master Chief is almost a mythic figure who comes in and kicks ass, that works. Because I tell you, like, to give you another example, it's 10 years old now, but the latter Dread film, the one with Carl Urban in it.
He's not the emotional center.
That gets a lot of praise because he doesn't take his helmet off, which is what a lot of people criticise the Stallone one for.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. perhaps controversial. I do not give a good god fuck about Dredd in the film Dredd.
Right.
The character I'm identifying with is Anderson.
Yeah.
Is it Anderson?
Yeah, it is Anderson.
Yeah. I'm identifying with Anderson. Now, to be fair, I'm not sure you're supposed to identify with Dredd. Because in the comics, Dredd is essentially a villain.
Yeah.
An anti-hero at best.
Yes.
He is a tool and supporter of and enforcer of a dictatorship.
Yes. That's something else that the Stallone film got wrong about the character.
Yeah.
Is he, you know, he's a good guy hero, but in the comics, he's really not.
I'm telling you now, and I'll put money on this, they'll never make a good Dredd film. Ever. Right. Hollywood won't. Britain might have a chance, and it is originally a British comic. An American Hollywood studio will never make an actually good Judge Dredd movie, because, to paraphrase Dodgeball, I don't want any complexity in my cinema. I just want to be entertained. They're not going to do a character like Judge Dredd the way he's meant to be done, because they're going to want to do him as an action hero.
Yeah.
And he's not an action hero.
He's not. He's actually meant to terrify you.
He is the lesser of two evils.
Yeah. I think the issue, this is one of the big things with Halo. When you're doing an adaptation, let's say we decide, let's do an accurate adaptation of Halo.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest problem with adapting Halo is Master Chief.
Yeah.
Because he's the only major recognizable hero in it.
Yeah.
And yet, he's such a boring character.
Yeah.
It's fine if you're just embodying the face of him while you play, but for someone who you're meant to emote with, carry you on this big emotional journey, he's not the one.
It's the same reason why when they made Doom, they had to invent a bunch of characters.
Yep.
Because you can't do Doom Guy.
No.
The movie. You can't do it.
Well, at least Doom Guy, you can see his face.
Yeah.
You saw his face in the first two Dooms anyway.
But he's got no dialogue.
They just covered him up in the following Dooms, which I didn't like.
Oh, okay. But he's got no dialogue.
No.
Beyond sort of like a grrr.
Grrr. Yeah.
You know,
you'd have a better shot at Duke Nukem, but he's considered far too sexist now to be able to do a film on him.
The problem is, some games just don't adapt well.
Yeah.
They just don't.
Yeah.
Because game and film are different mediums.
The only thing you could do with Master Chief, as you say, is to play him as a mythical figure. You'd have to follow someone else. And then Master Chief would have to... The best way to play Master Chief, because you know he will always survive it anyway. There's no point going, oh, but what if Master Chief dies? Because no one gives a shit. It won't happen. We know it won't happen. What you've got to do is you've got to put him in a predicament where he's got to save as many people as possible. And those people are anybody's. They could die at any moment. A bit like they did at the end of The Dark Knight.
Mm.
The two groups of people on the boat, the prisoners and the civilians, there's no one important on either ship. So that film could have blown up both boats and the film still would have worked. But, you know, you wouldn't be sat there going, oh, but now we've lost Batman because he's dead.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, yes, it would work in that sense, but narratively it only works because neither blow up.
Because
our point is Joker is banking on the good people.
I get that.
Civilians blowing up.
But the reason
prisoners.
That the tension works is because realistically you can blow up both boats and the audience knows that that's a possibility.
Yeah, it's
as soon
not,
as you were like, well,
if one had Batman on it, you'd be like, well, that one's not blowing up.
Yeah, at least one ship's making out of this because Batman's on it.
Yeah.
And it's we're on film two.
You know what I mean?
It's like, so,
or even not just Batman. If it was like Jim Gordon, you're like, probably not killing Jim Gordon.
Probably not, no.
I suppose there's a chance they could, I guess.
Yeah,
probably not.
For the most part, they're not killing hero characters that way.
Yeah, especially not when you've already... That'd be too depressing. You've already killed Maggie Gyllenhaal. You're going to kill Two-Face, obviously.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think for me, Halo... I would rather have, and I'm not saying, again, hands held up, not a Halo fan.
Sure.
So it's not my position to say what a Halo film should be, because I'm going to be a real hypocrite here, because I hate the fact they keep... I hate the fact they keep making Resident Evil films and they don't just adapt the fucking game!
Yeah.
But if I made a Halo film, I wouldn't adapt the game.
No.
I'd be more interested...
There's less actual narrative, though, in Halo game.
Yeah, I agree. I would be more interested as a film watcher.
Yep.
I'd rather watch a film or a miniseries, as we said earlier, about one of these oppressed people under the UNSC, who, like a little farming community, who get caught between the Covenant and the UNSC.
Yeah.
and have Master Chief come in as a support character.
Yeah.
For like two episodes at the end.
That's almost what this film is. But the problem is where they've made it about the UNSC, they can never really delve as far into how shit the UNSC is.
Yeah.
Whereas we can get more opinions
from
people.
But you know you're not going to get that, don't you, anytime soon. And I'll tell you why. And you could cut this if you want, because it might be a little bit too edgy. Let's be honest. World War III is coming. Or a war of some kind is coming. And you will notice that when we get to times like that, America especially suddenly becomes very, very pro-military.
Oh, yeah.
So I do think in the next sort of, over the next 3 to 4 years, we will see a disappearance of any media that's like, the military are bad sometimes.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be really good depictions of soldiers coming to help people.
It's going
to
be like after 9/11.
Yeah.
After 9/11, there was no films that came in that were like, you know, the military shit, right?
Yeah.
All of the, you know, or if they did, it was like, this is a conspiratorial film. Everything became about the good old military, how bad it is for our soldiers, even though we were the ones initiating a war.
You can argue it started because, although it is a good film, one of the biggest criticisms of Top Gun Maverick is that it's US military propaganda.
Yeah.
Because it does represent the military as essentially flawless.
Yeah.
And they're always good guys.
Yeah. I think that's an interesting social political point. That's probably a bit far advanced of what Halo should be.
Oh, yeah.
But I see what you're saying.
Yeah, not going to get a representation of the UNSC being bad guys.
Certainly
now.
Not from Hollywood at the moment.
Yeah, like that. To be fair, the opportunity for it's kind of gone as well because
Halo's not pop. Not
Halo as
anymore.
A franchise has crumbled as a game franchise. Wasn't Infinite like not only the worst selling game of Halo, isn't it like one of the worst selling games of the year it came out? Or something. Like people
honest,
abandoned it dead quickly or something.
I'll be honest, I don't know almost anything about Halo Infinite in terms of how it's sold or anything else. Let me have a look.
I remember seeing it get dragged online a lot.
Oh, it got dragged online for good reason. So, I mean, critical reception, it's often, like, it got a lot of very high scores.
Yeah.
Barring PC Gamer, that gave it 78 out of 100. Everything is like 8, 9 out of 10 plus.
Yeah.
There's even a couple of 100%. So, I mean, you've already stated your opinion, so why don't you...
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. Yeah. I think you can put me down as a maybe.
Okay.
Because
I'm happy with that.
I will recommend to Halo fans.
Yeah.
Halo fans should definitely watch it.
Yeah.
They won't care that Master Chief isn't explained and Spartans...
Because they'll know who he is.
Because they'll know, hopefully.
Yeah. Not much of a Halo fan if you don't know who the fuck
if they've
Master
paid
Chief
attention.
Is.
Well, to be fair, it's a first-person game.
Yeah, but he's in every... Oh, yeah, I was going to say, he's in every cutscene.
If they
skipped
all the cutscenes, they'd be like, huh.
Who's the green guy?
Oh, wait, I was this guy? I thought I was playing as Cortana, the hot chick. But I can't recommend this to not. This is not like an entry point for Halo,
no,
at all. If you're looking at the Halo, if you've like always heard about the Halo franchise and you think, oh, I fancy giving the Halo franchise a go, I'd like to get into it. This is not the place to start.
No, no, it's a shame because it had the opportunity to be that,
yeah.
But it doesn't actually capitalize on it.
No.
Okay,
no.
So you're a maybe on it.
Yeah. Because of that second half.
Yeah.
If the whole film was like the first half, this would be a straight no from me.
No, I agree. I think I'm going to join you. It's going to be one of our rare times where we both double agree on a maybe.
Yeah.
I agree with you entirely that it's, I think, a must for Halo fans. I also agree with you that I don't think anyone who's not a Halo fan will get much out of it. If you're into filmmaking, like low budget, some of the ideas in the second half might... Like, in terms of its cinematography and things like that, might be quite good. But you'd still need a semi-Microsoft budget in order to pull that off. So it's not going to be like, you know, you're making your first movie on the indie circuit. You'd need to still have some budget to pull off anything like this. Because you need to build a fucking warthog, for one thing. And get a tall enough guy to look like Master Chief. But in terms of the cinematography, I think there's something there that you could learn. But yeah, overall... It's not a must for everyone, but for Halo fans, I think it would be. When it comes to worst lines, there wasn't really any bad ones. Like, don't get me wrong, there's not any... This isn't, like, a brilliant piece of writing or poetry.
Yeah. I know what you mean. There's none that stand out because it's all just sort of a beige.
Yeah, it's I would say that the dialogue is mostly beige. The closest we get to it is the key pop, the constant reference to Rome. I remember it pissed you off when it was like the third time that in ancient Rome. You're like, do you talk about anything else?
Yeah. And I'm sorry, this is set when?
In
like 3000 and something?
Yeah, it's certainly the distant future from us.
Like, come
and they're
on.
Still talking about ancient Rome strategies. You're like, yeah, you know, there'd probably be more modern strategies than Rome, right?
I mean, I know that, like, the Roman Empire was one of the most efficient fighting forces in history, I know.
Yeah.
But we're fighting fucking aliens at this point.
Well, they weren't at this point, they were fighting farmers. Yeah, also, true. Do you need Roman strategy to defeat farmers?
No.
Surely just
it is a strangely,
kidnap their plough.
Yeah, it's a strangely right-wing thing, though, isn't it, idolising the Romans? Have you ever noticed this? Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So there we go. It's a rare double maybe from us both,
woo!
Which doesn't happen very often.
No,
so
it doesn't.
Call me maybe. I think we are done with Halo for a little while now. We're not doing any more Halo this season, are we?
There isn't any planned Halo for the rest of the Season 5, no. We might come back to Halo for Season 6, we'll
yeah,
see.
Well, there's still more to cover, isn't there?
So there's still Halo Nightfall, The Fall of Reach. There's apparently one that I've just seen called Halo Faith, but that may be a fan thing. And then there's the Halo TV series, which we would have to watch.
Yeah. Well then, Rory, do you want to cue us some music again, like you did at the start? No, the oh bit.
Why can't I do the guitar?
Because talking over that's going to be annoying.
That's a good point. All right.
So that wraps up Halo 4 Forward Unto Dawn for us. Thank you everyone for taking the time to listen to this episode of VGMP, the Video Game Movie Podcast. Please do like, share and subscribe if you enjoyed this episode. It helps us tremendously. Feel free to leave a comment or a review. If you've got any comments you'd like to make to us, if you want to send us some mail to read out on an episode, or if you want to request a future episode, please do email info.impalafilms@gmail.com. You can also check out our other show, Second Take Cinema, on all good podcasting apps. That is also a movie review show where we talk about movies that are not video game movies, and they can range from blockbuster movies like Iron Man to classics of cinema like Roman Holiday, all the way to weird artsy-fartsy films sometimes, like Performance from 1970 with Mick Jagger in it. We also have a audio drama series that we make, Haunted, the audio drama. In fact, around the time this episode comes out, I think we will have completed our second season. And you can also find that on all good podcasting apps by searching Haunted, the audio drama, or Impala Films. Now, I'm going to go and kill Rory for being a terribly unprofessional wanker. And I'm going to self-congratulate myself for finishing that whole spiel without being put off by him being terribly unprofessional. I'm starting to think we've made a mistake taking this show over from Yogscast. Thank
what?
You, everyone, for your time and your patience. And we will see you on the next episode of VGMP.
Cyberpunk Studios.